So we talk about admonishing the sinner and fraternal correction, okay? Fraternal correction from St. Thomas, directed to the amendment of the sinner. Now to do away with any... Right, this is what he says. Now to do away with anyone's evil is the same as to procure his good, and to procure a person's good is an act of charity. Right? So what they're saying, what St. Thomas is saying, is if I'm going to do something good for you, that's good. But if I'm talking to you about the amendment of your life, for you to do away with something that is not good, that's doing good for somebody. The world and the devil have largely succeeded in shaming Christians from this essential work. How often do we hear, "Who am I to judge? If they're not bothering anybody, or me, or anyone else, if it's not in my neighborhood," it's not really the right phrase, but that kind of thinking. When we talk about to judge, all right? Yes, there is judgment. But when we say judge, means unnecessarily harsh and punitive condemning. That is not what we're talking about. Unnecessarily harsh and punitive condemning. It doesn't mean that we're not... It does not mean that we should say nothing to those who are clearly in sin. And to say nothing itself is uncharitable. As he talked about... commanded by and prescribed by the scripture, and to do nothing is a sin of omission. Now think about that. To do nothing is a sin of omission. Well, I've slid by a lot with the sin of omission. I'll tell you that much. A lot in my life. There are scenarios that I've just completely ignored because I just didn't want to go there. Just didn't want to go there. And ultimately, I have to ask myself, who was I helping? Me? Correcting the sinner is both charitable and virtuous. It's possible to correct a sinner poorly or even sinfully. And, you know, so we don't want to do that. So because of our failure in that regard, the world is much more sinful, coarse, and undisciplined. And I'll give you a great example of that in a video. A great example of correcting the sinner that it has done that was done poorly and even sinfully and completely backlashed on the Christian on the situation. However, to fail to correct is to fail in charity and mercy. It's to fail to be virtuous and to fail in calling others to virtue. This little guy's stubborn, huh? So, fraternal correction, not a rash judgment, not a rash decision to speak out. You have to explain. You have to explain things so that they shouldn't be doing it. Must be out of charity. Out of emotion, excuse me, not emotion, out of charity. For the love of God and that person's spiritual well-being from a position of prayerful knowledge. Now, the important thing is that you need to be reasonably sure that the person is going to accept this. I mean, you can't walk up to somebody who's like really hard or something like that because not willing to listen to correction because that might make the situation worse. So there's a discernment phase here. So a couple of challenges. Hey, Tony, you were going to talk about challenges. Well, everything I just got done talking about is a challenge, but a challenge to us to do what in some certain circumstances. Remember we talked about the complementarity of man and woman, not a competition between men and women. Well, the challenges of the complementarity of the nature of man and woman are incredibly present in our society in these two issues, same-sex marriage and gender theory. This is what Bishop Olmsted says. This may seem obvious, okay? It may seem obvious, But in our world, there are many distorted images and much evidence of confusion regarding what true masculinity is. And we can say that for the first time in history, people have become either so confused or so arrogant as to attempt to dictate their own masculinity or femininity according to their own definitions. What do we say here with regard to recognizing the three lies of Satan? The first lie, falsify reality. Distorting the truth that God reveals to us and that the church presents to us is a primary tactic of Satan. God created man and woman. Why? Why did he create man and woman as complementary people? To form family. What is the family? The domestic church. What happens inside of a family as part of the domestic church? You engage in the communion of persons between husband and wife that is so fruitful that you have new life that did not exist. That soul did not exist. And God created it. He's true to his word so that that soul can be with him forever in heaven. That's why he created man and woman as human beings. The second lie, God is not telling you the truth, right? The third lie, in reality, truth is how you define it. Each person gets to decide for himself what is good and evil. There's no objective truth. That's the lie of moral relativism. Okay, the complementarity of man and woman. With Jesus as our role model, herein lies the fullness of masculinity, from the bishop. Each Catholic man must be prepared to give himself completely. To charge into the breach, to engage in spiritual combat, to defend women, children, and others against the wickedness and snares of the devil. And what the bishop is clearly saying is a lot of guys have not done that. And it's a call. It's a call that is so clear as part of the new evangelization that's happening in this country and around the world that his apostolic exhortation has kind of taken the Catholic men's movement in the United States kind of by storm. It's 28 pages. That's it. Just 28 pages. How do we follow, imitate, and know Jesus? How do you follow, imitate, and know Jesus? Right? Well, we talked about the prayer. We talked about, you know, to become Christ is to live the virtues, right? All of them. And there are a lot of them. The idea is Christ is our role model, the fullness of masculinity. These are the things that Jesus did. Okay, now, not a political statement. This is not political. It's just so evident of what is happening, okay? A prominent Catholic politician recently said, "My support for marriage equality now, my full, complete, unconditional support for marriage equality is at odds with the current doctrine of the church that I still attend." Well, I think it's like the history of the church, not the current doctrine. But I think that's going to change too. And I think it's going to change because my church also teaches me about a creator in the first chapter of Genesis, who surveys the entire world, including mankind, and said, "It is very good. It is very good." Pope Francis famously said, "Who am I to judge?" And to that I want to add, "Who am I to challenge God for the beautiful diversity of the human family?" I think we're supposed to celebrate it, not challenge it. Well, we can kind of dissect this, all right? But I'm not going to do that right now. But this is a perfect example of what fellow Catholics prominent Catholics, politicians. Okay, you wonder who it was. It was Tim Kaine, all right? Recently at the Human Rights Campaign dinner. Well, where else is he gonna say stuff like that, right? But the idea here is that it's a perfect example of those things, the spiritual combat, the lies that people have bought into with regard to who we are as human beings, men and women, in the image and likeness of Christ, God. Okay, so that prominent Catholic politician would probably agree that same-sex marriage is okay as long as the two people love one another. And that's it. But that's not the reality of marriage. It's a component. You gotta love each other. And maybe it starts with that, right? But marriage is founded on the natural law of creation of man and woman, right? Where male and female are model the spousal love between Jesus and his church on earth. That's marriage. Jesus died for the bride of Christ, right? The church. The fruit of this, of which is the ability to procreate completely new souls with God forever. Can't do that. A plus A equals nothing. B plus B equals nothing. A plus B equals C, right? Okay. Love and commitment is a component, but not the primary component. And it's so convincing sometimes. I mean, what did he say? Well, I mean, why would you think anything different? These people love each other. I mean, come on. This debate can become volatile. These are all short.
Okay, we are getting a clearer picture of what may have sparked that heated confrontation at Palm Springs City Hall. That's where a group had gathered to protest the passage of Prop 8.
Let's go back live down to Palm Springs and Kimberly Chang. Kimberly?
That's essentially it. Okay. I went to the end, not to extend the arguing, but to show you the trampling of the cross. Okay. So that's that discussion. What Bishop Olmsted says also is he talks about the damaging impact of gender identity. Okay. So what's ideology? So we talk about gender theory. Rather than acknowledging that God created male and female, the theory contends that these are societal constructs, and we now decide for ourselves whether we are male, female, or something in between. This has been taught in Montgomery County Public Schools for over 8 years. Okay. And they specifically say, you can be a man in a man's body, you can be a female in a female body, or anywhere along this continuum to the exact opposite. Okay? Now, just to give you a sense of the terminology, what's binary? Used as an adjective to describe the genders female and male or woman and man, since the binary genders are the only ones recognized by general society as being legitimate, they enjoy an unfair privileged status. This is now normative in public schools. Okay? And there was a video going around of a training session in Anne Arundel County Public Schools as to how to work with students, how to approach transgender students, and what are some circumstances by which, in the normal course of public school life, you may experience these individuals and accommodate them. We're not even talking about bathrooms anymore. Forget about bathrooms. Where, you know, if a man identifies as a woman, he goes into a woman's restroom, right? Okay. We're talking about camp. Okay? We're talking about outdoor ed. We're talking about going away for whatever number of days and sleeping in the accommodations. And if this boy says he's a girl, he sleeps with the girls. That's the rule. So Bishop Olmsted talks about, I exhort you, my sons and brothers in Jesus Christ, to embrace more deeply the beauty and richness of the sexual difference and to defend it against false ideologies. Just to tell you how extreme this has gotten. Facebook identifies 71 different genders. 71. Okay, I'm not going to go through them, but these are what they are. I mean, some of them are like, oh, okay, by the way, here's one that you should know. Cisgender, or cis. Cis female, cis male, cis man, cis woman, cisgender female, so whatever. Okay, cisgender. That means that you identify your gender with your biology. So we now have a name for ourselves. We're cis. We're binary. Okay? I wish I was making this up. But it is a direct affront against creation. And it is an absolute lie. Pope Francis, I ask myself if the so-called gender theory is not an expression of frustration and resignation, which seeks to cancel out sexual difference because it no longer knows how to confront it. Yes, we risk taking a step backwards. The removal of difference, in fact, creates a problem, not a solution. Gender theory is an error of the human mind that leads to so much confusion, and the essence of it is the family's under attack.